Okay. Well, it's good to be here. And like James said, he's been after me. He's an encourager, but he tends to push me out of my comfort zone sometimes. I have some stories about up in Canada I could tell you about. He's much more of a public figure than I am, but it's good to be here. And I thought before I came, you know, I'm going to be a stranger at Berea. When I thought of who attends Berea, no names came to my mind except James's family and their children we know, and some of their sons married spouses that we knew very well from Wisconsin. Appreciated that family. But now that I'm here, I see faces. I don't have names for all the ones I recognize, and I apologize for that. I'm not very good with names always, but I've enjoyed being here and worshiping with you. One of the things that always amazes me is that when we go somewhere where we know nobody, if we're in a group of God's people, it seems like we have some connection. We have a lot to, the more important things we have in common. And so I really appreciate that. Enjoyed fellowshipping with you here this morning, and the spirit that I sensed here, it definitely lifted my heart and my mind and my soul to the things of the Lord. And yeah, you have a beautiful thing going here. Yeah. So I'm new enough here, I don't even know who's visitor and who isn't. So there's maybe a lot of other visitors here that I don't know about. But just a little more of an introduction of our family and how we ended up in Wisconsin. As Jane mentioned, we spent about 4 years with Believers Fellowship Missions in northwestern Ontario, and we were put into a community where there was no established church, there was no mission church. Our family was the only staff in that community, so we were pretty much alone. We would occasionally get together with other staff, but we had nothing to really pour our energies into. If you're familiar with Believers Fellowship, the mission focus was to evangelize and establish local bodies of believers. And so when we got there, that was our job description, evangelize and establish a local body of believers. And I said, how do you do that? You know, how do you create a church out of your community people that are not Mennonite people? I wasn't sure if we do a very good job of that in Indiana from my growing up experience. So it was very much a challenge for us. And it really made me think. And so what ended up happening is for about 4 years, we had no one to fellowship with there. And 2 weeks before we left, we're scheduled to leave. Our replacement couple was already there. We overlapped like a month. And I got a call from a guy on the Indian Res, and he said, Dan, would you come over? He says, I want to pray and receive the Lord as my Savior. And so we went over, and I had the privilege of praying with him. And the last Sunday we were there, he and his wife came out to join us for church. And I thought, Lord, why this timing, you know? Why didn't this happen in the first 2 months I was there? But the Lord has his ways. And we tried to go back the first number of years, every once a year, go back and reconnect. And, you know, I forgot to mention, 2 months after we left, we got a phone call from our replacement, the guy that replaced us, and he said, Dan, that fellow that received the Lord, Herman Green was his name, he said he was hit. He was walking along the road, and he was hit by a car, and it killed him. And so we went up for the funeral, and it was a... His family was from Manitoba, and they were of like a Pentecostal type church. And his family requested that it would be a Christian-themed viewing and funeral, which the people at our res were unfamiliar with that, usually with Catholic or traditional native religion. And they were very impressed. And through that connection, this group in Manitoba began to come over and do a service once a month, I think it was, or something. And so a year after this happened, we went back to visit, and there were 13 baptized believers at that res. So we just, wow, God's ways are amazing. Just a blessing. And those people, we still keep up with them on Facebook, and they still, you can tell they're walking with the Lord. And so whether it's by our hands or someone else's, the Lord does his work. Okay, this morning, for a topic for my message, I've, through various things that happened recently, I'd like to talk about hearing. Now, some of you, faces I recognize, you don't look like you did back in the day, and I know I don't either. Some of you maybe didn't recognize me, who might have met me in the past. We change. And one of the things that changed for me is I've spent too many years with power saws and other power equipment. My ears, they're not quite what they used to be. I don't hear as well as I used to. In fact, I'm being encouraged to buy some hearing aids, which I haven't quite, I'm just not that old, you know. But, and sometimes it creates some embarrassing situations. Sometimes I should hear things I don't. Sometimes I hear things I shouldn't. I misunderstand things. Last time when we were here a few weeks ago, well, 1st of March or whatever, for the Men of Valor Conference, when we come back in the area, of course, it's our home stomping ground, my wife and I both, and so I'm busy gawking around. I mean, the prosperity in northern Indiana, it's a changing scenery all the time. I mean, you go down roads you haven't gone for 20 years, and it's just, wow, this and that, the other thing is different. So we were driving along, and I was gawking around, and pretty soon my wife says, "Behold." I'm like, "Behold." I mean, we're familiar with the word behold. I mean, it's in the Bible. I'd read my Bible, but who in modern-day English uses the word behold? And just out of the quietness of driving along, she said, "Behold." And so I know what it means. It's like look at, see, gaze at. So I was looking. I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to behold. And, of course, this all happened in seconds. And pretty soon she says more vehemently, "Behold." And I thought, she's having a spiritual moment. And I look up. I thought, Jesus is coming. And I look up, and just like that, whack, I hit a chuck hole. And I go, whoa, you know, and I look at my wife. She's looking at me with this incredible look, and she goes, "I said it's a big hole." I just bust out laughing, and she wondered what's wrong with me. And but after she caught on, she got a good laugh out of it. So we got some mileage out. We still get mileage out of that word, behold. Someone I had posted on Facebook that just a couple months ago, it was before we came down here, so I had fair warning. Somebody had posted on Facebook that in some countries they drive on the left side of the road, but in Indiana we drive on what's left of the road. So I should have been more observant. But hearing is a very important, God gave us ears for a reason. What would we do without our ears? And they are a marvel of divine creation. The way our ears are designed. Our son did a children's lesson recently that I thought was kind of interesting. I guess I really never gave it much thought of, you know, when you hear a sound, you immediately know what direction that sound is coming from. Why is that? If someone walks up kind of behind you and says your name, you turn it right directly to him. It's like there's something built into us. And so he demonstrated this for the children. He asked for a volunteer, and he you know, snapped his finger one side or the other, and the kid always could tell which way it's coming from. So then he blindfolded him, and he took Play-Doh, and he packed his ears full of Play-Doh. He left the ear channel open so he could hear, but he just covered up all the ridges. And then he blindfolded him so he couldn't see where he was standing, and he'd snap his finger. And he said, you know, when the voice is on one side, the sound hits your one ear before it hits the other, and your brain automatically picks up on that. But when you're front and back, the sound hits the same time. So what determines when you hear sound straight in the front or straight in the back? So that's basically what it affected. When he packed these ridges full so that they were smooth, he could snap his finger here and here, and the sound would still hit the ear at a different time, and the kid could tell where he was at. But in front and back, it always sounded like it was coming from the front. Didn't matter if he was in back or front. But the ear is a miraculous, marvelous thing. And God gave us those ears for a reason. There's lots of verses in the Bible that God encourages us to hear. Hear this, hear that. So I'd like to look at some of those. My title for my message is that there is a hearing that goes beyond what we can hear with the physical ear. That's also something that is promoted in Scripture. There is a hearing that we do that the deaf can hear. It doesn't matter if you can hear any sounds physically, there is still a listening that we need to do that goes beyond our ears. Okay, first verse I'd like to turn to is Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Verse 13 in Romans 10 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God gave us ears, probably first and foremost, that we could hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And he gave us, according to this passage, he gave us preachers to preach that good news so that people can hear. So that this passage talks about a physical hearing, something we do with our ears. We hear the word preached, and it enters into our mind, and we do with whatever we do with that. But we hear it with our physical ears. In Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, Jesus was talking to a crowd of people, like it seemed like he always was doing. Always people congregated around him. And in the middle of his teaching, a woman raises her voice and says, "Blessed be the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." In other words, she was saying, "Wow, your mama must be proud." You know, mamas tend to want to do that. They're pretty proud of their kids usually. Dads too. We have a lot to be proud of. As God gave us these children and they grow up and are in his service, doing the Lord's work, there's a sense of pride that comes with that and a blessing and a joy. And so this lady is saying, "Wow, I envy your mother. She must be a proud woman." And then this is Jesus' response. He says, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of the Lord." That's way more important in Jesus' opinion. If you hear the word of the Lord and do it. That was Jesus' response to this lady. There is nothing more valuable than God's word. Jesus said seven times in Scripture, he uses the expression, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Luke 8 is another familiar passage. I'm just going to turn to it. It's the passage of where Jesus was giving the parable of the sower who went out to sow. And then in later in the chapter in verse 11 through 15, he explains that parable, what it meant. And I'm just going to read that. Verse 11 of Luke 8 says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." So all of these individuals had the opportunity to hear the gospel, and they all heard it with their physical ears, but then there were different outcomes because of what they did with what they heard. There were different outcomes of how they implemented that which they heard in their lives. God doesn't want us to hear only, but he wants us to hearken to his word. They have a different meaning. To hear, anybody can hear. But to hearken is when we put some effort into what we hear, what we have heard, what we do with it. Do we obey what we have heard? Like anybody in here who has children has probably said at some point to your children, "Are you listening to me? Have you heard me?" "Yes, yes, I've heard you. And I'll do something about it. Go do it." It's not just hearing and then going off and not obeying. Hearken is to pay attention to give heed to act upon what we have heard. So all these verses have talked about our physical ears, but I'd like to move on to that which goes beyond the physical hearing. Revelations 3:20 is a very familiar verse. Anybody can just tell me what it says? You know the verse. I know you know the verse. You just don't know the reference, maybe. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." If any man hear my voice. How do we hear the voice of God? I've never personally heard God's audible voice speak to me. I've often wished I would. And if I did, he was disguised in the form of some person, I think. I think sometimes he's talked to me directly through another person. So there must be an other way for us to hear the voice of the Lord besides our physical ears. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, encourage us. I think it's a skill that we have to hone, something we learn and practice. And the more we practice it, the more easy it is to hear the voice of the Lord. In Hebrews 3, verse 15 is another verse that says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Again, hearing his voice, which doesn't happen in a physical sense, not with our physical ears. Have you ever heard God's voice? I think probably most of you in here have. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there was a point in your life when you heard his voice. He called you. That's why you became a Christian. You heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you. You know, a preacher can preach a very powerful message, and he can give an altar call, and people can come up front and receive the Lord as their Savior, but it's probably not the preacher that brought him up front. If my experience is when I was sitting there, and I was not born again, I was not saved, there was something inside of me speaking pretty loudly. And it was that thing inside of me that prompted me to respond. That's why I responded, not because of the preacher that was up front, but God uses the preacher. And I thought of that this morning as I was sitting here, how important it is, the different roles that men played here this morning, worship leaders or the devotionals. It sets the stage and the tone. God has like a frequency that we have to tune into the right frequency, you know, to hear from him. And the worship leader, whoever, sets the tone. It puts us who are sitting out there in the right frequency that we can hear God's voice more readily. And so it's an important role, whatever you play. It's not just up to the preacher to set the stage. It starts right from the beginning. And when you go to a church and there's life there, it's because the Spirit of God is moving and people are tuned into the frequency of God. Maybe touch base on that frequency thing a little bit later on. The Bible says that God speaks to us in a still small voice. That still small voice, that's not referring to a whisper, something quiet. It's not even something audible. But it's something that we have to quiet ourselves to hear. But it's not audible. It's inside of us. But we still have to quiet ourselves. It's like thoughts that God puts into your mind. That's one way God speaks to you. God can speak to you in many different ways. He can use a song. He can use a person. He can use a message or whatever. But God's voice is really the thought that enters your mind. He enters your mind through a thought. He puts a specific one there that you know why it's there. He puts it there to speak to you. Sometimes when you're reading your Bible, a passage you might have read hundreds of times, and suddenly a new thought pops in your brain. And it might have to be do with something that you're going through in your life. But God puts the thought there to encourage you or to challenge you, but in the least to show you that I'm here, I'm with you. Romans 12:2, I'm going to turn to that because I can't quote the whole thing and I didn't write the whole thing out. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." God speaks to us through our mind, thoughts. And so Paul is encouraging us here to transform our minds. Get your mind on that frequency where God's at so that you can hear what God is speaking to you and into your life. We have to have renewed minds. And then Paul tells us, I think it's in Corinthians somewhere, where he tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Doesn't mean that we're on the same level. At least my brain doesn't function on the same wavelengths his does. But we can still have the mind of Christ. When things come into our life, we try to process them in a way that would be God-honoring, God-pleasing. We are on that same wavelength. You know, God promised us that he would send the Holy Spirit to teach us all truth. And again, the Holy Spirit doesn't minister to us audibly, usually. He teaches us. One of the ways we are taught is by listening to teaching. But then the Holy Spirit confirms that in our life and affirms it and teaches us that, yes, this is truth. One writer suggested that we don't hear God's voice as often as we should or wish is because often we don't, we wait till something big comes up and then we want God to speak into our lives. Whereas if we practice it on a daily basis, it just flows much more naturally, where we will be tuned in to listening for what God has for us. Need a daily communication with Him. So a consciousness of God's presence with us in the mundane things of life. Do your lives ever get mundane? I mean, some of you have jobs that look like they're pretty glamorous, but even a glamorous job becomes mundane if you do it often enough. It just becomes work. At least I've discovered that. In the past, I've taken a job that I thought, man, that would just be the cat's meow, you know? And I do it for a year, and after a while, it's just, that alarm, just shut it off. I don't want to go to work today, you know? Not because I have a terrible job, but just because it's work. It becomes mundane. And so a lot of times we think, it's not important. But learning to recognize that God is there. Whatever He calls us to do, He's there. We need a God consciousness and to recognize that God uses whatever we're doing as a vehicle to bring Him glory, a vehicle for us to use to minister to others. Hard to remember that sometimes. When we sit down, have our quiet time, I trust that all of us find time every day to sit down and read some scripture, meditate on the things of the Lord. If we want to hear the Lord, I think it's more important to meditate on what we are reading than to go for volume. Volume's not all bad. Some of you can read 3 chapters while I read 10 verses probably. And some of you can meditate while you're reading that fast. We're not all created the same. Whatever works for you. But it's, I think, more important that we spend time really analyzing the scripture we are reading. How does that fit into my life right now? What is God speaking to me now, rather than saying I got to read 2 chapters in this book and 5 chapters in the Old Testament? And, you know, it's good to set goals sometimes, but we also need times when we can stop and really analyze what God is wanting to say to us. Back to the frequency thing of the Lord getting on His frequency. You know, I think Satan has always specialized in distractions. That's probably not a new thing. As long as Satan's been trying to detour and shipwreck God's plan for mankind, distractions was one of his main features. But I think we have probably a little bit of a special challenge in the time we find ourselves. With where we're at technology-wise, never before have we carried as much stuff in our pocket or on our belt as we do now. That can distract us. There's other things. There's our jobs. It seems that we talk about the old days, how relaxed and simple it was. They probably didn't see it that way, but it seems like the rat race is maybe a little greater than it was back then. Jobs demanding. There was a day when a lot of people worked from home. Today we travel to work. We're separated as families. Just a lot of distractions that come along, whether it's technology or just jobs or parenting. We're busy doing stuff. And a lot of that stuff is doing good stuff. But it can still distract us and cause us to not be able to slow down and quiet ourselves before the Lord. And I'm as guilty as the next guy. We have our hobbies. When do you fit hobbies in? Or don't we fit hobbies in? Nothing wrong with hobbies. Unless it takes the place of being able to sit down and have a quiet moment with the Lord. Just in closing, as I think of listening and hearing the voice of the Lord, I often chafe at the fact that God seems to be so silent when it comes to finding his direction and what do you want me to do now? Are we where you want us to be? And it just seems God is often so silent. So this message is for me. But there have been times in life where God answered in very profound ways, and I very much appreciate them. They're highlights when I look back over my life. They're highlights in my life that I look back to, and it's encouraging to think that God hasn't forgotten us. But this particular one that I want to share with you is just how we ended up going to Canada. And my wife and I were part of Woodlawn Church, and Woodlawn had partnered with Believers Fellowship to put a couple at Northwest Bay. So the responsibility of filling that spot at Northwest Bay kind of fell on Woodlawn Church. And they had asked us originally, when that first came into being, they had asked my wife and I if we would consider going. And that's not me. But I'm also the kind of guy that I was raised to not say no. You know, that unless there's really good reason. So I was struggling with this. I just thought it's not my thing. And Gina was feeling it's not her thing, but do we have a good reason not to? And so they asked to have a meeting with us, and we were on our way to the meeting. We stopped at my sister's house to drop something off that they had bought of us. I think it was a microwave. And my brother-in-law owned a trucking business. And it was one of those jobs I thought that would be it was a local trucking. And so while we were dropping this thing off, I asked, where's Joe? And my sister said, well, he's out looking for this other fellow that had shown interest in buying his business. And I said, well, what do you mean? Is he selling his business? Yeah, he thinks it's time to do something else. And I said, well, man, if this other guy doesn't work out, I might be interested. And anyway, so we go to this meeting, and I said, man, I mean, I just came from my sister's house, and there's this job opportunity. And I said, I haven't got a clear direction one way or the other, whether we should go to Canada or not. So I said, I'll tell you what, if this job opportunity, if the Lord makes it come into being, we'll take that as his word. If not, we're open to the idea of Canada. So I sat down with my banker. We talked about it. There were absolutely no speed bumps. It just went through. I couldn't believe it. I told my wife, this is amazing, you know. And I ended up buying the business and running trucks. And so we did that for about 4 years. And I delivered livestock feed out of Purina Mills in Milford. That's what I was doing. I ran about a 100-mile radius, and I loved it. But as any business, it's got its pros and cons, it's got its struggles, it's got its finances and all that goes with it. So fast forward 3 or 4 years, the couple that had gone to Canada was looking for a replacement. So Woodlawn had its feelers out again. And my wife's sister went up there to do summer Bible school. And she came back and she said, you know, Dan and Gina, they really need a couple like you up there. And I laughed at her. I said, you're barking up the wrong tree. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. And she said, no, really, I think you guys would do well up there. And I said, well, I'm not on the same page as you are. And so went on. Next week I was driving truck, and one day, the next week when I was driving truck, in one day, this thought kept reoccurring to me. And it just kind of came in and went out, and I didn't even pay it any attention until about the third time I thought, you know what? This is about the third time this thought came through my mind that maybe we should just go to Canada. And I said, and I just, it hit me so profoundly. I just like sat back in my seat. I was like, Lord, are you talking to me? I said, really? I said, no way. And then I thought of Gina, and I thought, she's my way out. She's not in the mood to go. So I thought, I tell you what, Lord, I said, I'll make you a deal. I'm not going to say anything to Gina. If she brings it up, it's up to you to talk to her. And if she brings it up, I'm not going to bring it up to her at all. And it was like that same night at the supper table. We were talking business. And I was at the place where I was, do I add a truck and a driver, or do I just work one and a half jobs myself, or what? And wouldn't you know it, she says, you know, sometimes I think we should just sell that thing and go to Canada. And I said, what did you say? I said, no, are you serious? She goes, well, sometimes, yeah. So I told her what I had prayed, what had happened that day when I was driving. And I said, what do we do now? Do we actually go chase down the mission board and say, hey, we're on? You know, I thought, that's a little awkward. And it was in the same week, I think it was a day or two later, my phone rings after supper, and it was the mission board. And they said, Dan, we've been trying to figure out who to send to Canada, and your name came up. And I said, well, I said, I can't just laugh it off. I said, okay. I said, I'm open to the idea. But I said, I have a business to sell, and I got a house to rent out. Two things have to fall into place. And so within a week's time, I walked in at my mechanic shop, which was in New Paris, Superior Diesel. And this guy I used to hang out with when we were teenagers walked in right behind me. Hadn't seen him for I don't know how many years. And he was delivering RVs West Coast, and he was getting sick and tired of it. They were starting to clamp down on their logbooks and how many miles they can run and how much hours they can run, and they had to log their time back as well as the way out. And so he thought it's time to move on to something else. So he stopped in there because he had heard them talking about a guy that was looking for a truck driver. And I overheard this conversation. I went to him and I said, hey, are you looking for a job change? He said, yeah. I said, I got a business to sell. And in 3 days' time, my business was gone. I said, okay, Lord, we are going to Canada. And that's, you know, just different ways the Lord got us there. And I'll tell you one thing, if I wouldn't have went to Canada, I wouldn't have went to Wisconsin either. The 4 years I was there, and I kept asking myself, Lord, why am I here? There's nobody interested in hearing the gospel. And I was sure that the Lord was doing a greater work in me than he was maybe in the community I was living at. But it is because of our experience in Canada that took us to Wisconsin. Like I said, my job description was evangelize, establish a local congregation. I said, you know what? Why don't we do more of this in the States? We spend thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to send people to Africa, Canada, Ukraine, you name it, to establish churches from local communities. And I'm the kind of guy, I like to work with my hands. Full-time ministry is not really my thing. Maybe I don't even have the experience to say that because I didn't have a church to pour my heart into there. But I like to work with my hands. So I had a vision of being a self-supported missionary, which in Canada I couldn't take a job. I was a foreigner. So my wife and I moved back here for 2 years, and then we found a place we could go. And our goal was to just have a church that is made up of community people. And the Lord has blessed. We have a small church. We have a total of 6 families, but most of them have non-Mennonite background. We love it there. Our family practices like we always did, but our church doesn't look quite like this one. But it's what we feel the Lord has called us to. And yeah, it's a challenge, but we love it. And we feel like we're trying to listen to what the Lord is telling us to do. And I trust that we all can hone our listening skills, our spiritual listening skills. So may the Lord bless.